Welcome, my friends, to Hello Hero episode number 11. I am your host, Vincent Baker, and today I am joined by...
Abby.
Yeah, Abby. So, if you've noticed, I have not done an episode, or I haven't done an episode of this for the last three episodes of My Hero Academia. The reason being is, you know, I'm just sort of slowing my roll on these, and I'm going to do more consolidated episodes, which I believe I've already discussed some. But, yeah, so this has been crazy. So, three episodes ago was the fight after Mirio, in which we had Sir Nighteye get his severe injury. We saw Deku fighting Overhaul in that. We saw Aizawa bust in there. He got captured. And that episode had a lot of crazy things happen, but these last two in particular, I would say, were the super crazy episodes. So we're going to be focusing more on those two. Real quick, there's a lot to talk about. I don't even know where it's... This is really difficult. There's so many points of this that my brain wants to jump to. So, first off, Abby, what have you thought so far of this season?
Just as a whole?
Just as a whole so far.
Well,
how about this? What have you thought about the season before the big fight between Deku and Overhaul? What was your overall thoughts before that fight?
Okay. Before that, I've been enjoying the season... But I would say it's been maybe my least favorite of the seasons, or like at least my second least favorite. I mean, I have enjoyed a lot learning more about Mirio and Tamaki, because I like them a lot. And so it's been cool to see them in the spotlight. And to, like, see everybody working together, like, the pro heroes and the students and everything, it makes everything feel a little bit more, like, real.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, has that changed after seeing these last two episodes? Or is it still probably, like, least favorite to second least favorite?
It's still probably that.
And for you, it's probably just because you would prefer... You probably preferred more of, like, the school life with some drama and some darkness, but, you know, you had the more of the school cast, you had more Todoroki, more Bakugo, which are characters you like, and it wasn't this, like, dark, like, Yakuza saving this girl, people dying. It wasn't as severe.
Yeah. Call me basic, but I enjoy my slice of life elements very much.
Okay. So you're not really saying the season's worse. It's just, you feel like it's... Maybe, like, personal taste involved.
Yes, yeah, I would say that.
Okay. So, yeah, with me, I still don't know what to feel. My head is all over the place on this one. We still have more of the season, of course, so, you know, I'm not going to rank it. But one thing that is bothering me that's, I guess, kind of a nitpick, though, is Toga's been getting a lot of screen time, and she's kind of had some cool moments. But I really feel like they missed a shot of killing Rock Lock, not because I hate his character, but because, like, they mentioned in this past episode that Abby and I watched that she missed any vital spots. And is it because she is not as skilled as, like, is it because she's not skilled to hit a vital spot? Because I don't think that's it. I think she knows where a vital spot is, so why didn't she just go for the vital spot? I mean, you could say that she's just trying to cause chaos, so she didn't need to kill him and stuff, but obviously the League of Villains doesn't mind burning people, killing people. Like, she's insane. She's crazier than Twice, so, like, I just don't get it. That's kind of a nitpick, though, because it doesn't really change the story all that much. I feel like it's kind of a weird choice.
Yeah,
you would think that we would have done, or I would have done a podcast after the last episode where it's the 100% or infinite percent or whatever it's called, where Deku goes Super Saiyan and he's flying around by kicking through the air and he's punching Overhaul like he's a beanbag, just socking him all over the place. I didn't know how to feel about that, though. I feel like a lot of people, I haven't really looked online about it, but I have the sense that a lot of people are like, whoa, best episode ever of My Hero Academia. And Abby and I really just didn't feel that way. Like, I didn't feel like it was a bad episode. I don't think Abby thought it was a bad episode.
No.
Yeah, it was just, it felt, so I think I've been trying to come to terms with, like, why it didn't affect me the same way as other people that loved it. And I think ultimately for me, I think I always love siding with the underdogs. And usually my favorite moments in a fight, like my favorite characters, always feel like they're slightly outmatched. And so they have to resort to being, you know, just a little bit more clever in order to win. Mm-hmm. And in this, it's like Deku was not clever at all. He was not the underdog. I felt like he was pummeling Overhaul everywhere. I mean, it showed that Overhaul was very strong, very powerful, you know, even to the point to where I doubt any of the other heroes could even take him out. But it was, I always felt like Overhaul was like the underdog. And I think just inherently, because of that, I'm just kind of rooting for Overhaul to win, which is interesting because in the fight with Overhaul and Mirio felt like the underdog to me, and I really was rooting for Mirio, like, very hardcore. So it's not that I'm just a super huge Overhaul fan and I want him to kill everyone or something. It's like I love it in the story when it's positioned in such a way to where the main character or whoever, you know, they want us to focus on, they have to win. They have to win by sort of being outside of, you know, thinking outside the box or something. You know, they don't just, I felt bad for Overhaul in the episode.
I kind of did too. In this one especially.
And Abby doesn't even really like Overhaul that much. Like I think that you kind of like him as a character, right? But he's not like in your top whatever by any means.
Yeah. I do like him, but, He's not up there.
Yeah. I like him a decent bit more, but even Abby felt bad for Overhaul in that fight with Deku. Like, and it even messes me up more in this last episode because I not only felt like he was the underdog in the previous fight, but I felt like he got tag teamed by Deku and Shigaraki, which is stupid because they're like mortal enemies, and somehow he just got ping pong back and forth between those two in the worst way possible.
Sucks to be him.
Yeah, I am not cool with this. And honestly, I don't know if Abby feels the same way. I think I'm actually more affected by his scene than the scene with Night Eye. And I really love Night Eye's character. Like, I really do.
I wouldn't say that I was more affected by Overhaul's scene, but I would honestly say that they're on a pretty even plane. They left me feeling slightly different ways, but
Overhaul's scene will give me a nightmare.
You think so?
Yeah, that for some reason I feel disturbed.
I mean, I feel disturbed.
I think you're meant to feel disturbed, but I think it disturbed me more than what it's supposed to. Because I think it just goes with that underdog thing. It's like. Like, Overhaul in that scenario, like, it reminds me, like, because in a lot of scenarios, I feel like the underdog. So, I just, like, I can only imagine, like, I go to some game store, all the nerds surround me and just beat the crap out of me. I try to go home to you. You decide to go crazy on me, pull out a knife, start stabbing me, cutting into me. And I just can't catch a break no matter where I go. And I feel like that's Overhaul. And so, Sir Night Eye, on the other hand, he's like, this guy who is a very successful man, goes out, he goes out in a blaze of glory. He's there by all of his friends and families by his side. They're crying for him, you know, but he gets to have his last little moment of peace and pass away. Overhaul didn't get that. I mean, so let me say this, though. Overhaul, obviously, is not noble. He has done some really awful things. He's not even a good person.
No,
I mean, so I'm not trying to sit here and compare. Like, yeah, Overhaul, like, I could see should get more of a measurable punishment based off of his terrible deeds that he's done. Because Sir Night Eye is a wonderful man, and even though he has some weird tickling things going on, he is he's a good guy. And and yeah, so I need to take that into consideration. But just seeing, I never like seeing someone in that kind of position, even if they're a bad person.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah, especially if you can tell there's kind of more going on there. But Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting to me that he touched Mirio and said that he's going to become a great hero. I wonder if that means that he's going to get his quirk, or he'll get another quirk, or something will happen involving that. Because he said that you're going to be one of the finest heroes. I think he even said you're going...
The finest.
Yeah, he said you're going to become the finest hero.
Yeah, I took note of that. I did.
Yeah. So yeah. Can we have Deku explode so we can have Mirio become... I don't know. Going into this, Deku is my favorite character, like, going into the season, but I am burnt out on Deku.
I am, too, a little bit. But what confuses me is that at the beginning of the show, the very beginning, Deku's like...
He's like, this is how I became the number one hero.
Yeah, so...
Well, here's my theory, Abby.
Okay.
What if, as the series continues, eventually they get older, time skip... Deku's like 18 years old or 21, and he's like, all right, told you I was the best hero in the world, and it picks up from there. It picks up from the narration, and then it continues on. Then he could die or something else. Someone else becomes a better hero, whatever, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything before. Because when he's saying that he's the best hero in the world, he could be 21 years old. Then, you know, when he's 22, 23, he could die.
Boy, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, so it's my personal... What I want to have happen is I want the time skip. Deku's like, yeah, I'm the number one hero. Then all this crazy stuff happens, and on his deathbed, he's dying. He has to give his one-for-all power to Bakugo and Todoroki. They share it. Then they become the number one heroes working together to live on, to carry on Deku's legacy. But now Mirio's still in the picture. I wouldn't mind if it was with him either. I don't think that will happen. I really don't think this will happen, but that's just my personal dream, my personal wish for the show. I want by the end of it Deku to die, not because I hate Deku, but because I think it would make for a really crazy story that makes sense in the context of the story, and it would feel more realistic or like grounded, and it'd have a lot of heart, and it would hit people in the feels, and I think it'd be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be pretty crazy if they took it that direction.
No, I'm actually very surprised, because I thought it was very spot on this theory that does not seem like it's going to happen. But when Sir Night Eye, he said that the farther he sees into the future, it gets blurrier and fuzzier, and he was for sure that All Might was going to die. And so I had a theory that since it was blurry, what if it was Mirio that died? And he was like, All Might, you're going to die, you're going to die. And then it turns out that... See, I thought in the overhaul fight, Mirio was going to... Because, like, Sir Night Eye is like, you will die a gruesome death. Then Mirio goes to fight overhaul. Then Sir Night Eye shows up and is like, oh my god, it wasn't All Might that died a gruesome death. Mirio, get back, and Mirio explodes. Like, that's what I was expecting to have happen. Because that would have been crazy where this whole time Sir Night Eye and All Might stopped being friends. Because he was like, you're going to die, All Might. And it wasn't All Might, it was Mirio. But he couldn't see it because he looked so many years in the future. And he didn't even know Mirio at the time, so he would have no idea. Like, he didn't know Mirio. So it was like he just saw this guy who, in his vision, looked like All Might. And I thought that was such a clever idea. And I'm actually kind of shocked they didn't do that, because I felt like that would have been insane. But
it would have.
Yeah.
See, I don't know... If that could have worked exactly like that, though, just because it seems like whoever it is that he's looking at, whatever future he sees pertains to them specifically, right?
True.
That's still a really awesome idea, though.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. I just thought that, yeah, I think you're right. But, yeah, I guess the only way they could have pulled that off is if some way... All Might and Mirio had some sort of connection, so it was like a connected thing. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, I can live without that happening, because I'm a huge Mirio fan. I got more sad seeing Mirio sad, I think, than Sir Night Eye. I sound like I hate Sir Night Eye. I love Sir Night Eye. And actually, oddly enough, I think he gave the best voice acting performance, at least in this dub episode. Every time the guy that dubs Sir Night Eye... It might be the best voice actor in this entire season.
I was going to comment on that, because I was just going to say that not just even in terms of voice acting, but like everything they did with Sir Nighteye, like, about to die in that scene. Just, they did it so, so well. Like, there have been so many death scenes that I've watched in not just anime, but various things. And this felt the most off-putting, but in the most right way possible for, like, someone dying. Does that make sense? Because instead of just feeling sad, I looked at that and I thought to myself, this feels so, like, disturbing and, like, bizarre and real. And props to them for making me feel that way.
Maybe I would have felt more that way if I didn't feel so bizarre from Deku's face.
That was, yeah, that
Deku's
was
I'm not sure if you noticed, but Deku's face looked weird. And by you, I mean, I know Abby thought this, but you, the listener, Deku's face, I don't know why, like, everyone else looked perfectly fine. I literally, for a second, thought it was a different animation studio or different people. I don't know, but everyone else looked the same. But Deku, especially when he looked straight at the camera, was, like, weird looking. Like, he looked, like, more Disney-fied or something.
Yeah, it's not that he looked bad. It's just that he didn't quite look like the way that they normally draw him.
Yeah, it didn't.
Like an Uncanny Valley kind of
thing. Yeah, it didn't. It's not like it looked cheaper, like a budget or anything. It just looked, it looked uncanny. Like, it looked like just something was off. And it just, it really threw me off.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that in another anime.
Me neither.
Like, it's not, this isn't something, like, I'm literally, like, I'm really trying hard not to nitpick, and it's like, dude, why are you bringing up this? But it's like, it really threw me off.
Yeah. But on that note, though, something that I was noticing in this episode is that it's not just Deku that looked, like, weird, but a lot of people did. Now, Deku, there's, like, no good reason for that, as far as I'm aware. But, like, Mr. Compress took his mask off. We saw him without his mask. That was weird.
We seen him one other time without his mask.
We did?
Yeah, when he captured Bakugo and Tokiyomi. And he had the little balls, and they took him, and then he took off his mask, and he was like, and it showed his face, and he stuck out his tongue, and the balls were there, and then he got shot in the side, and the ball spit out.
Oh, somehow I don't remember that. I didn't remember that at all, that threw me off. And then, I know that we've also seen Shigaraki without the hand on his face, but
yeah.
I'm still not used to it. And then, Overhaul without his mask... That was weird. And Sir Nighteye, I mean, he didn't have the glasses, so that already kind of made him look different. But
and his hair was more...
Disheveled?
Yes.
But with him, too, this is kind of what I was touching on earlier. Like, he just looked so, like, gray. Gray and exhausted. Which... I don't know. I just feel like in anime in particular, when someone is on their deathbed, it just doesn't really seem like they actually look like they're about to die. They're just there and then they're dead. Like, they did a good job with making him look like, you know, hanging on to his last strings.
And I'm glad that they didn't say that he lived through that, because he literally such a huge... I mean, it's kind of crazy that he lived that long, but I'm willing to suspend disbelief to a certain proportion, since there are superpowers and they can kind of jump far and this, and they're durable, you know, even if they get smacked into a wall. But, like, at a certain point, you know, you just... So I'm able to suspend that he could survive this long, but, yeah, if he had just, like, recovered, it's just like... And it's funny, too, that Recover Girls is like, I can't do anything more. It's like, nah, duh, because we already know your quirk is that you can only heal what the natural body can heal. And as far as I know, his natural body is not going to grow a freaking circle back into his missing hole, the stomach or whatever. So.
Yeah, highly, highly unlikely. Oh, for For Aizawa, I could be wrong, but to me it just seemed like he was wearing his exact same outfit that he usually wears, but without the scarf thing.
Maybe, yeah.
Which, that was weird too.
So yeah, it's just like an intentional thing where like all the characters looked... It's like all the characters that wore masks didn't, the guy that had the nice hair disheveled, and for Deku, they didn't have anything else they could do but Disney-fy his face. It's like, we have to make him look kind of off too, so we'll just make his face look all weird.
Yeah. So, whether they were going for it or not, they certainly had me walking away from this episode feeling, like, really strange. But, like, it is strange in the bad way, but I feel good that I feel strange in the bad way from this episode. Like, that just feels like that was the proper feeling to get from this.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, art is supposed to make you feel something.
Yeah.
If you watch a series and you don't feel anything, then it's, you know, that's one of the worst crimes against a piece of art, you know?
Yeah.
This one definitely made me feel something. It doesn't mean always... I mean, of course, sometimes you watch something that makes you feel angry and you don't like it or whatever. But, yeah, I do feel pretty weird about this episode. I'm very curious to see where the season goes. I don't really think we'll get anything from Overhaul in a while, but I could see them maybe, I don't know, 30 episodes down the road... having a moment where he is way more level-headed, and he's, of course, he doesn't have his quirk, he's missing his arms or his hands, whatever, and maybe he provides some advice to Deku or something. It's just sort of like this interesting kind of, like, he's, like, way more humbled and just in this different spot in his life where he's just kind of forced to have a different perspective because of his life circumstances. And he's not necessarily a good guy, but he's just kind of he's more neutral, and just kind of like this guy who is just like, yeah, this is, you know, maybe you should do this kind of thing. I think it'd be cool to give him that sort of role in the story, even if it's like a minor part or just like that one episode where he tells them something important and then they're like, okay, you know, appreciate it, and then go on.
Well, maybe I misunderstood this part, but I thought that Shigaraki was saying that if he destroyed his hands, then he, like, just his entire body would disintegrate. Or did he destroy his hands to keep his entire body from disintegrating?
That. Because okay. he touched his hand and made his hand start disintegrating up to halfway up to his arm. And then he said, if I don't cut off your arm, then your entire body will disintegrate from his quirk.
Oh.
Yeah, because, like, Shigaraki's decay would, like, spread throughout Overhaul and disintegrate his whole body. But since he used the knife, that's why he used the knife. Because if he didn't use the knife, he could just disintegrate all of Overhaul.
Oh.
So Overhaul's still alive, from what I gathered. I mean, maybe I missed something. Maybe he did disintegrate, and that's why he was screaming. But from what I gathered is he used the knife, because he wouldn't need a knife. He would just disintegrate his entire body. And he even said, like, you're going to kill me. He said, no, I'm going to do something far worse. Take away your arms, take away your quirk. And you have to live with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I'm fairly confident he's alive. I'm going to be pretty salty if he died. So, yeah, I think he's alive. I wasn't even really aware, though, that he needed his hands to do his quirk. Like, it'd be funny if, like, he's like, oh, actually, all it needs is my feet. He, like, taps his foot and he grows arms or something. Like, I don't think that will happen because I'll take away from that moment, but...
It's weird because I didn't exactly make the connection before that he would just have to use...
His hands?
His hands. But now it makes total sense because he always wore the gloves and then he would just take them off whenever he wanted to.
Well, I figured that would just be because it's the easiest thing to use. You know? Like, your hands, like, you could pick up a t-shirt with your feet. But it's way more difficult than doing it with your hands, you know?
Yeah.
I just kind of thought it was something like that. I didn't realize it was like, no, you just literally have to have your hands.
Hmm. Yeah.
Huh. Hmm.
You know what I'm wondering?
Like, for example, does Deku need his hands to do the, or his feet to do the smash? Like, if he lost his hands and his feet, he could still probably channel his energy into his, like, knees. even though we've never seen him do a knee kick or knee hit or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Or like Bakugo, does he need his hands to cause explosions? Or could he cause like an explosion from like his mouth? Or like maybe even from like his belly button or something? If he lost his hands, could he just never explode anything? Because his thing is he can take his sweat and make it explode. And he can sweat anywhere.
Yeah.
But we've never seen him do that anywhere but his hands. So I guess it's just like it opens up the door for these new questions.
Yeah.
Or like, okay, Todoroki shoots out fire and ice. Well, in The Legend of Korra, there's a waterbender who is missing both her arms. Oh, and yeah. She can waterbend. And she waterbends arms even without her having arms. So she doesn't need hands to do her quote-unquote quirk. So,
you know, I do kind of have to wonder how that works, since most of the bending movements have to do with, like, hand gestures.
I think it might be your body simulates the movement that your hands would be doing. And she can just do that. I think usually it's so disconnected that someone would not be able to do that, but she's such a master that she can do that. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Well, yeah, we're not talking about Korra.
All right. Welcome to Hello Korra. I'm just kidding. So, yeah, I think the next episode is going to be a bit of a breather. I mean, we watched the preview. It said, you know, it feels like the calm before the storm. So, probably going to have things slow down a little bit, some setup.
Yeah. But Deku looked normal again.
Yeah, Deku looked normal again, so that's good. And we'll see what the next arc will be. I feel like it might be around Shigaraki and his crew.
Yeah, that would make the most sense.
I heard that someone said that the main difference between Shigaraki and his crew and Overhaul's crew is that Shigaraki and his group is more of a band of misfits that are a family that, like, oddly get along. And Overhaul is more of like a family in terms of like you have the main person in charge, it's like the father or whatever, and then everyone listens beneath them.
Oh.
And what's interesting is the guy that had the confession quirk. I saw someone brought it at this point. I thought it was interesting. He asked Twice and Toga if Shigaraki gave them orders to betray them. And in their heads, they're like, oh snap, we're worried that this is going to make us talk. And they said no. Which was the truth, because Shigaraki never gave them those orders, even though they're thinking on betraying them themselves. It's because they act on their own accord. And someone could see that as being the confession guy. That could be a weakness on his part. It's like, really, that guy's that dumb? Because he really could have said, do you plan on betraying us? And that would have covered it. But here's the interesting idea behind that, is from that guy's perspective, his question makes perfect sense. Because his entire life, he is familiar with the structure of the Yakuza. And so that's what he knows. So, like, yeah. To him it doesn't make sense that they would follow their own accord and not follow direct orders from Shigaraki. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's that interesting thing where there's an actual psychological thing that we all have, where we all assume when someone else is in a situation that they would react the same ways that we would. Mm-hmm. Or, like, we have this tendency to place ourselves in other people's places and think that they would do the actions that we would, when really different people have different life experiences, perspectives, and they're going to act differently than maybe we would. And that's something that will catch us off guard, and that's something that threw him off guard.
Yeah.
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 I never would have thought about that. Yeah, it's super interesting. So, we'll see where this goes. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Man, like I said, I don't know what to feel. Let me know what you thought of these last few episodes. Is it some of your favorite My Hero Academia ever? Is it some of your least favorite? Did you like seeing Super Saiyan Deku? Did you feel bad for Overhaul when he was getting pummeled by Deku? Or when he's getting pummeled by Shigaraki and his crew? Or do you just hate Overhaul? I had a guy the other day, I was like, I wonder when the Overhaul pop's coming out. And he's like, Overhaul is garbage. He's trash. I hate him. He should die. And I just provoked this man, and he just started hating on me. So if you feel like that, you know, let me know. And as always, stay awesome. Abby, you're supposed to say it with me.
Oh, stay awesome.
With me. Stay awesome. There we go.